State Representative Manny Cruz is joining us here on MSONewsSports.com, and he represents the city of Salem. And Representative Cruz, welcome back. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's so good to be with you, and really appreciate the invitation to be able to come back and join you and to give you some updates about how my time on the Hill has been going.
Exactly. That's what you're here for. So since we've talked, you've been sworn in. You're at work in Boston and, of course, back here on the North Shore in Salem as well. So I guess tell us about what it's been like to kind of, you know, it's one thing physically to get your way around the building, the hallways, the different members of the House and Senate and so on. And so tell us what that part of the orientation is kind of like.
Well, thank you, Bill, for that question. And it's been quite a whirlwind. So I think I'm fortunate when I reflect on my service that I had the experience of being a legislative staffer who served for a new legislator and for a veteran legislator in Representative Tucker and Representative Matias, respectively. So I already had the experience of knowing what it's like to be the new legislator, but then working with a seasoned person. So I knew what to expect, but it doesn't change the fact that being in the seat is so different. And my orientation to the legislature began with a training that all new legislators are invited to in the House and Senate at UMass Amherst, in which the members of the leadership and several seasoned legislators joined us for a three-day professional development in which we learned all about the budget process, filing legislation, heard from folks at UMass about some of the upcoming issues that we may be taking on and some of the polling, and it was a great opportunity for me to meet my new classmates and to engage on some of the issues. And then if you fast forward to that first week in January being sworn in, it is quite the pomp and circumstances, the fanfare, but there's a reason for it. We honor the traditions of the legislature, of the new government being sworn in. So it was a really exciting opportunity to see history be made in our Commonwealth with the swearing in of our constitutional officers, our governor, our lieutenant governor, and then, of course, the various members of the legislature, which I'm really honored to have been a part of this new class and to have seen the full diversity of our Commonwealth on display with respect to the various professions that are held by this new class of legislators, their racial, their ethnic, their linguistic diversity, and the various skill sets that we're going to bring to Beacon Hill. So it's been quite a whirlwind. I don't have an office yet. I'm stuck in what's called the bullpen. So they have us down in one of the hearing rooms in the basement where we're building our camaraderie together as a class, and it's been a great experience so far.
Well, they're keeping you in your place, I guess. Jeez, Manny, no office, huh?
Well, but the last time that I had to do a bullpen experience as a new legislator, we were on the fourth floor, and this time we're on the basement. And the reason for that is because we had so many new legislators that came in. We're a class of 22, and that means 22 legislators and 22 staff. So the basement actually has the bigger hearing rooms that allow for us and our staff to be present. So I don't take it as a knock as much as I recognize it's a logistics issue.
Hey, no, I get that, and I'm only kidding, I guess. But did outgoing state rep and now district attorney, Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker have any advice for you as he left office?
Absolutely. So the district attorney, I had the pleasure of serving under him as his legislative aide, and I have to say that it was an honor to be able to work with him on the transition as he was transitioning into his role. He was able to give me a few sessions in which we could talk about some of the work. The advice that he gave me with respect to the service, number one, is to build the relationships with your colleagues. That was the most important thing. He made so many lifelong friends, from his classmates to who he came in with to the members of leadership. He really spent the time getting to know folks and their issues, their district, and I think that he was well served by it. And the second piece was for me to do my homework. This is something that I saw firsthand with the rep. He's probably one of the most diligent legislators that we had on the Hill. He reads every bill that comes his way that an advocate talks about to him, red line, with a careful eye, with thoughtful questions. And on my end, I've really just tried to replicate that. There's so many bills that get filed. And sometimes there's a temptation to try to be a hero to every single cause, but you really have to prioritize. And on my part, I've really tried to take that to heart. So getting to know my colleagues and making sure that when it comes to the issues, I'm being really judicious in studying the bills, asking my questions before I just sign on to any bill that might come. There's no real bad causes on Beacon Hill, but you certainly want to make sure that you're focused on the issues that matter most to your district.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that about Rep Tucker, because, you know, I did interviews with him years ago. And, you know, when he became rep, or early on when he was a rep, and, you know, he was from his police background, obviously, and his legal background, he could, when it came to, judicial reform, and so criminal reform issues, you know, obviously that's right up his alley. But he was also very influential on educational issues, I believe, and different things like that. He really grew as a state rep, for sure.
That's right. I think if I could model my leadership after the rep, I saw our now district attorney on various committees that were outside of his subject matter expertise, but it was the time that he took on the issues, and he had the opportunity to lead on education reform when it came to the funding formula. And then I saw him also take on public health battles as well. So you really can become, I think, really well-rounded on Beacon Hill. There's an abundance of research and advocates and folks that you can tap into. And Paul certainly did his part to ensure that he was well-informed, but that also that he was leading on issues that were outside of his professional expertise. And I'm trying to do the same thing in areas where I know, as an example, healthcare, it's not something that I'm a policy expert on, but it's something I want to know more about, get more involved. So I've really taken the time myself to, you know, meet with advocates, dive into the research, and to see where I can be a contributor. So if I can model myself after Paul in that way, Salem will be well served, and so will the Commonwealth.
All right. What do you have? What are your committee assignments? They just came out very recently. What do you have?
Oh, thank you so much for asking, Bill. So I get to follow in the footsteps of Rep Tucker on a couple of committees. So I've been appointed to the Joint Committee on Transportation, the Joint Committee on Cannabis, both of which the representative served on. He was actually the vice chair of cannabis. And then I got two other committees that I got assigned to. One is the Emergency Preparedness Committee, and then the last is the Racial Equity and Inclusion and Civil Rights Committee as well. And so the Emergency Preparedness one, if I could just highlight that one for a second, that used to be the committee that was formed during the pandemic that also examined COVID. So it was COVID and emergency preparedness, but now it's moved to emergency preparedness and management. So it seems like there's a transition that's occurring here as we get closer to endemic phase and really trying to be prepared for all kinds of disasters which require emergency preparedness. So those are the four committees, and I'm fortunate to be working with chairs that I know and some that I will get to learn more about throughout the session.
So basically, from my questions earlier, I've been reconnected or redirected by you in the sense that you do know your way around the state house, you know, pretty well. You're kind of just reorienting yourself, you know, as a state rep, as an elected state rep. So obviously a difference, as you point out, but you are kind of familiar with the process for sure. You've touched on some bills, you know, in that with your committee discussion there. Are there any bills or legislation or areas that you're really kind of interested in that you might not have touched on when you discuss committees?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that one of the things that's really important for our residents to understand is that even though I may not have been appointed to certain committees, it doesn't mean that I won't have an opportunity to influence the debate. So folks will know that during my campaign, I was really an advocate for public education reform, housing, and certainly climate justice and addressing mitigation here in our Commonwealth. So I'll have opportunities to also engage with those committees. And in some ways, being on the other side of the table of those committees allows me more of an opportunity to be able to work with coalitions and the committee staff to try to advance key issues. So with respect to legislation that I filed, folks will note if they were to check out my profile that I have filed 28 bills, including several home rule petitions that have come my way. The majority of the legislation that I have filed has been in public education. That is my background. That is my expertise, serving as the vice chair of the Salem School Committee, as an advocacy director at a nonprofit association, and then also the work that I've done in our community in Salem and beyond to try to address educational equity. So if I could highlight a few bills, the number one bill that I'm working on in education is to resolve an issue that I talked about, I think, at the last time that you and I had connected, Bill, around the Chapter 70 challenge that Salem has, which is pretty unique, in which in the last couple of years, as a gateway city, we've received the lowest allocation. We're considered a minimum aid community. So I filed legislation that I'm working on now that would seek to create a pothole account, if you will, that would provide an additional supplement to our minimum aid communities, while in the long run setting up a commission that would try to address some of the issues with below effort communities, minimum aid communities. So essentially a second pass at the Chapter 70 formula to address the distribution of Chapter 70 dollars, especially now that we've passed the question one and we have this additional revenue stream from question one in the millionaire's tax that we'll be able to tap into over the next several years and beyond. So that's one bill that I will certainly highlight for folks and my residents who may be listening. This is an issue that I talked a great deal about because it will have an impact on the type of education that we're able to provide in Salem. The other two education bills that I would just highlight that I'm working on, one is a bill that's near and dear to my heart, and it's around student voice within our school districts. Right now, I'm still serving as the vice chair of the Salem School Committee, and I had the distinct honor of trying to rebuild what is called the Student Advisory Council to get a student representative back on the committee. I got my start in public service as a youth leader from a class senator at Collins Middle School to being appointed to Governor Patrick's Statewide Youth Council. And one of the things that didn't sit well with me as a school committee member was the fact that we didn't have a student representative who was appointed. But even so, the structure by law, the student representative is a non-voting member of the committee, and they're not allowed to receive any form of compensation. So I filed a bill, an act relative to student voice, that would allow our students to have full representation on the school committee by allowing the student representative to become a voting member, to be able to vote on policies and budgets that impact their peers. They are duly elected by their peers, by the way, to serve. And the other piece would be that we can make them eligible for a form of compensation, whether it's a stipend or a scholarship, so they show up to the table equal to adults. So those are two education bills that I filed that I would certainly love to highlight for my residents here. And then I'm working on some statewide issues around the educator profession, trying to get more bilingual educators and more diverse educators into our schools as we try to address the ongoing teacher shortage here in the Commonwealth. So that's just a brief overview of some of the education issues. But then I'm happy to talk about some of the other bills that I filed around topics like tourism, but then certainly around public health as well.
Well, let's just go right there. I mean, tourism is a big topic in the city of Salem. It has been. It's getting bigger and bigger, I guess. But let's go to tell me about tourism.
Yeah. So, folks in Salem are fortunate to have representation on Beacon Hill that included Senator Lovely and Representative Tucker, who are very strong advocates for tourism. So, on my part, I've actually inherited legislation from my former boss that would try to address what are known as regional tourism grants that come from the state and are administered by the state. And it's really about the timing in which those funds get released, which are really critical as communities that have visitation try to promote themselves. So I'll be leading on that legislation this year to try to address this longstanding issue. But then there's another bill that I'm really proud of that would add to our tourism sector here in Salem. So I was approached by what is known as the National Guard Caucus, and they asked me if I would be willing to champion a bill to be able to erect a museum in the city of Salem to recognize that we are the birthplace of the National Guard. So the North Shore has a rich history with respect to military service, the founding of this country, and this would be an opportunity to honor all of our veterans who have served in the Guard. And so on my part, I'm deeply honored to be leading on this bill. I'm going to be pursuing not only this legislation, but some funding to get this museum started. And these are two issues that really matter deeply to me. As we think about how we promote our state, our city, we have to be thinking about the overall net impact of tourism. It's one of the leading industries here in our Commonwealth, but it touches more than just the attractions and the hotels. It is a real driver of economic development. I think about our restaurant owners, our small businesses that get visited by residents and international visitors, and they really rely upon the tourism industry to be well-marketed, well-managed, and certainly for the state to have a role in promoting the Commonwealth as a whole year-round. So I find it to be a tremendous honor to be able to lead on this issue, and then, of course, to be able to honor that military history here in the city of Salem for the residents of our Commonwealth that have served in the Guard or have had family members that have done so. It adds another layer to Salem's rich and diverse history that is worth exploring.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think highlighting, you know, especially in our area, as you mentioned, it starts from way back during the Revolution, the historical aspects of the North Shore for sure, and all the history that has taken place between then and now, obviously. So, yeah, the National Guard Museum would be great. And you had one other area. Was it public health? Manny?
Yeah. I have one more area that I'd love to highlight, which is public health. So, Bill, as I think I described to you in our first interview, I am a relatively new parent. My wife and I, we welcomed a baby girl back in 2021. We have our second child on the way in May. And we had the fortunate experience of being able to have options when it came to the birth of our children. And one of those options is no longer available to us. So you may be familiar with the story of the North Shore Birthing Center and its recent closure by Beverly Hospital. And so on my part, I was an advocate to try to prevent that closure. I did this during the campaign and certainly kept up my advocacy all the way up to the point where the closure did go through. And on my part, what I've done is I've actually filed legislation alongside the Bay State Birth Coalition and the advocates, the families, the parents, and those that have benefited from the services of the North Shore Birthing Center and this coalition called Save the North Shore Birthing Center to file legislation that would update the regulatory authority of DPH to be able to protect this essential service and expand it. One of the things that would be completely shocking to residents of the Commonwealth about birthing centers is right now we only have one freestanding birthing center in the western part of the state following now the closure of the North Shore Birthing Center. We have one more that's trying to open up in Boston, but if you were to look at the options for midwifery care for our residents, they're incredibly limited. So we are telling our parents and our families that they have to choose only a hospital setting or maybe an at-home birth if they're fortunate. And when I look at other states, Texas as an example, I mean, they're at a scale in which they have hundreds of birthing centers that are able to offer a different type of care team and environment for families with low-risk pregnancies to be able to deliver their children. So this is a bill that I know is going to have impact for generations to come that I'll be advocating for and working with my colleagues both here in the North Shore delegation to advance. And it's one that I certainly would welcome more of our advocates and those that have had that alternative experience to birthing a child at a birthing center to be able to join in and to echo this on Beacon Hill, that this bill needs to pass and that we need more birthing centers across our Commonwealth.
You know, Manny, it even seems like there aren't a lot of on the North Shore here, because a lot of hospitals that had you know, maternity wards, there are less and less of those nowadays too, right?
Yeah. So there's a lot more work that needs to be done here in the Commonwealth. There is other legislation that's been filed that tries to address some of the workforce-related challenges that the healthcare system has experienced with respect to maternal health. So I know that some of my colleagues, Senator Liz Miranda, Representative China Tyler, Senator Joe Comerford, they're working on legislation that I'm in support of as well that is aimed at addressing some of the staffing challenges that we're experiencing in our health system that are related to maternal health, because we do fundamentally need to bring more people into the professions of midwifery care and certainly into those OBGYN practices so that we're able to deliver and provide higher quality care, safe care to any patients who are in need of maternal health care and those services. So I think many of the industries that we have here in the Commonwealth, including healthcare, have been decimated by the pandemic. And as a state, I think one of the things that sometimes can be a shortcoming, we rate ourselves as number one when it comes to things like healthcare coverage and access to world-class medical care, but we still have challenges with respect to our workforce, how we are making it sustainable, and one in which people are actually attracted to be in. So on my part, you know, I'm certainly looking forward to working with my colleagues to ensure that we're doing all that we can to try to bolster the maternal health care workforce. And I do think that birthing centers are an element of this as well.
All right, Manny, let me ask you this final question or two, maybe a two-parter here. I know you're all around the North Shore, the Salem District, and so on at different events in the past several weeks or past several months. But give me a highlight or two of where you've been and what is ahead for do you have some events coming up in the days and weeks ahead here?
Absolutely, Bill, and thank you for this question. So the last 3 months have been fast and furious with respect to the number of events that I've been able to engage in, both on Beacon Hill, welcoming my residents who are showing up to the State House, seeking to meet with me to advocate for legislation and some of the events and the organizations that have put them on, but then also the opportunity to be in my district and to see the great work that's happening. So there's one event in particular I would love to highlight. It's a twofer in and of itself. I gave my first State House tour to Collins Middle School students, my alma mater here in Salem. We have a new pilot program that's being run that's centered around experiential learning, student voice and choice, where the kids are actually getting the opportunity, our scholars, to go out into the community to learn in a way in which I think is more engaging for our students, and it's going to pay dividends in the long term. But this group of students actually came up to receive a tour from myself and Senator Lovely, and remarkably, Bill, one of the students actually did a poster as part of a civic engagement process project on myself and my campaign. So it was so humbling to be able to receive those 40 students, to talk about my journey in public service with them, and to encourage them to understand that even right now, as young people, as youth, they have the opportunity to contribute to society, that they can also pursue public service, and that they have the ability to also self-direct themselves towards youth leadership. And the twofer on this was after the tour, it was really humbling for the kids to be able to ask me to grab a selfie with them. Some of them wanted to play online video games with me. But then I had this opportunity after my school committee meeting about a week later. I was coming out of Collins Middle School, and it happened to be recess at that time. And about 30 of those same students were right outside. They saw me, and they said, "Mr. Cruz, Mr. Cruz." And all of the reviews that I've received about that tour, that experience with the students, was that that was a really engaging opportunity. And I understand that I have this immense responsibility to our youth to be their role model. So I was just honored to be able to host them in Beacon Hill and to see them in the community and to see them light up about public service and education was certainly humbling. So that was an event that I would highlight as I'm looking back. And then what do I have upcoming? So actually this evening, I'll be heading up to Loring Towers for a community meeting to hear from my constituents who have raised concerns about the quality of life that they've experienced up there. So housing continues to be a top issue for me in my office, and I want to make sure that I am listening to my residents and being able to advocate on their behalf. But I do have office hours that are upcoming. So for any resident that might be listening that is interested in connecting with me either on the issues on Beacon Hill or in Salem that you would like me to be working on, I would encourage all of my residents to come join me. So my next set of office hours is actually going to be on the 25th. I will be at the Senior Center from 9:30 to about 11 o'clock. So I would ask for any of my residents, my apologies, that's the 27th of March from 9:30 to 11. I would ask my residents to come join me. You can set up an appointment by reaching out to my office, or you can just drop in and happy to have a conversation about the work that I'm doing on Beacon Hill and how I can be of service to you.
That's what we call a senior moment, Manny, and I have them, you know, so.
I always get my numbers mixed up. That's my challenge.
27th, we got it. Well, Manny, thanks so much for taking some time to do this. And it obviously, as I mentioned, I think it was when our very first interview, you know, I admire the energy and dedication that you're bringing to this job and look forward to hearing from you again.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, and looking forward to being on again. It's an honor to be able to serve the residents of Salem, and I want to thank you for the work that you do to keep our residents in the North Shore informed.
There he is, State Representative Manny Cruz, City of Salem, here with us on MSONewsSports.com.